نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد المعدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله والفضل الله أما الله
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. This great gathering, majlis, Allah Ta'ala has to us again given us the opportunity that we can assemble together. And the objective of this gathering, of this majlis, is not just dhikr, that we just gather together for dhikr, or that we're sat for dhikr. Rather, there's a bigger objective than this for which Allah Ta'ala has sat us down. It is a bigger objective than dhikr, and that is to improve the akhlaq, the conduct, the character of the individual. Because dhikr is the means to improve the akhlaq. Akhlaq. Islah, rectification, to improve the akhlaq, which is also, you can say, termed tazkiyah, purification. So the real objective is what? Is that our akhlaq improves. And for that, the means, the resource that we are adopting, that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed to us, which improves the akhlaq of the human being, is the dhikr of Allah. So the dhikr of Allah that is done, it's performed, is done for this reason, for this purpose, that we attain that end point which, through which Allah Ta'ala is happy. And Allah is happy through the good character and akhlaq of a human being. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by a companion that what is the best thing that has been given to the human being? And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, good akhlaq, good conduct. Same way, there's another hadith, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu is the narrator of this hadith, and he stated, who is the best human being? Look at the qualities that could have been replied. This person, this person, this person. There could be a whole list through which you could define the good person. But the Nabi of Allah give us the standard of the best person. He said, Husni akhlaq. He who has the excellent conduct, excellent character, excellent manners. As Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu anha said in hadith, which is narrated in Mishkat, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that an individual whose akhlaq is good, who has good character, then he attains those levels, that darajat. He comes into comparison with, for example, if you compare a person all day long does ibadah, night long does ibadah and keeps the fast, you can compare the two together. So what does this mean? Is that what should our target be? Is that we should improve our akhlaq, conduct, character. Now, what is akhlaq? Conduct. Akhlaq, for example, I look at you and you smile at me and I bring a smile on my face. This is not the definition of akhlaq. Islam has a different definition. Yes, this is just, for example, a temporary someone smiling. You don't know inside his heart what's inside the heart. This is not our style. You'll see that this is the, you can say, politeness, and someone smiles and they say, oh, he's got good akhlaq, good conduct. Islamically, this is not the definition. And this is also an akhlaq, that you're inviting someone, feeding somebody, giving them food and drink. This is also not akhlaq. Akhlaq in reality is the name of those rights that you have to fulfill, that are essential for you to fulfill the rights on certain individuals. So if you're fulfilling those haquq, the rights. So if you see, akhlaq is such a big subject, it is such a big status, that the whole deen, our whole religion, the 90% of deen is akhlaq, 10% is ibadah. So 9/10 of our deen is akhlaq, and 1/10 of the part of the deen is ibadah. So if you see this 1/10, we emphasize so much on ibadah, day, night, fazail, virtues of this, this worship, this worship, this. We say this, don't we? Alhamdulillah, it's a good thing. But the 9/10 of the deen, 90%, nobody talks about that. Nobody talks. And this is the reason of fasad we have today. That's when Qiyamah will be near. And where will it be spoilt, our deen? That the deen will have been disfigured. That 90%, for example, that the deen tells us about the high level akhlaq, good conduct, good character. And do you see today seminars about akhlaq? Nowhere. And the thing that we need to prepare and work hard most of all is on is akhlaq. Which in reality, ibadah, the 10% was also given for this reason. The acceptance of ibadah worship will be based on the akhlaq of the person. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was asked, there's a woman, and she's very pious, psalm, salah, prayer, fasting, very pious. We say that she's pious, but just her akhlaq is a little bit that her neighbors are fed up with her. What do you say about her? Rasulullah said she's to the hellfire. And the other woman? Yes, she just fulfills her faraid, the compulsory actions. The rest, nafal, etc., she can't, tahajjud. She doesn't do much of that. But her neighbor's relationship with her neighbors is very good. Rasulullah said she will go to paradise. So in other words, the standard of the deen that's being given to us for which we have to prepare is what? Akhlaq, conduct. And regards to that, if we think about it, that how should we improve our akhlaq? What's the position of my akhlaq? All of ibadah, we emphasize on ibadah, and the ibadah will be accepted on the akhlaq of the person, the conduct of the person. And akhlaq is this, that the rights that are due on other people, we follow the husband and wife rights, rights of the close relations. All of these are parts of akhlaq, such a big status of relatives and maintaining the relationships is a big thing. But in our eyes, we don't call it deen. We don't think this is Islam. Just like salah is fard, this is also fard to improve your akhlaq. You emphasize it so much on fard. But the other faraid that are all spoiled, we don't pay attention to them. We don't focus on them. So we think it's just optional. The tariqah that Allah Ta'ala has defined in the Quran and Hadith, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has defined, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Akhlaq, tazkiyah, third part is tazkiyah. First is kitab and sharia and sunnah, and then tazkiyah. What does this mean? What does this mean is that the Quran and the Sharia and the Sunnah, these are the purpose for us, and they are given to us to make the akhlaq. The kitab, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, all the prophets that came to this world prior, all the prophets that came, alayhi salam, their objective was one, and what was that? To improve the akhlaq of mankind. Imam al-Anbiya, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he himself is telling us this. He's announcing, I came, utimul akhlaq, that I came to complete akhlaq of the mankind. Complete. Such an important point. So for us, how much do we stress on this? And this is the reason of the fasad today. Akhlaq, as I said to you, the rights of mankind, to fulfill the rights. Relatives' rights, people who are near to you, your wife, your husband, all of these are parts of akhlaq. And in this, we shouldn't relax at all. The first questioning when a person will have his case presented, first will be the case of the wife. And it will be asked that, what was your husband's relations with you? What did he do or not do? And then the reply will come, and what to look at our situation and our relationships today between husband and wife. How many rights do we fulfill of the wife? How much of our wife's rights do we fulfill? Complete. Yes, we'll have a new phone ourselves, new things. And for the wife, we'll just give her some broken down thing and say, oh, take the phone from your relatives. You're buying new clothes, new shoes, everything. For the wife, no hisab, no balance. Yes, so what you say that, oh, you earn yourself, wife, and you eat yourself. That's the today in this generation. Work yourself and get your house yourself and buy your things yourself. And rather, this is the demand nowadays of marriage. I was doing dua. Someone said, can you please do dua for my child for their marriage, looking for a partner, and do dua for a job. I said, what dua for the job? They said, that's the condition nowadays, isn't it? That girl who's working in a good profession, she'll get the good marriage today. Tell me, is this akhlaq? Where's all the facade comes from this? Because our akhlaq is spoiled today. The main juz and part of deen, the glory of Islam is akhlaq. Islam spread due to akhlaq, the rights, the good conduct. But we have just wrapped up Islam in a few ibadah. Oh, we pray salah good. Oh, every year he goes on hajj, every year he goes on umrah, he spends time there and he worships. And we made our own standard and criteria for akhlaq. But the 9/10 of the Islam, we don't work hard on that. No attention to that, to the 90%, the akhlaq. What are we doing for that? How much are we sahih in the akhlaq? What do we know? So such a big subject, has Allah Ta'ala not given us the formula? Allah has told us in the Quran, the tariqah, the method, that how to improve your akhlaq, your conduct, your character, how to work hard on this subject. What is the path towards that? Which is called tazkiyah, purification. That's why we do tazkiyah. That's why we do tazkiyah, so that we can improve and elevate our akhlaq to the high level. Look, we pray salah, we do sujood, we worship. But what's my link with my relations, my relatives? How much to improve the relations? A massive subject of akhlaq on its own is to maintain the blood relations or to mend the ties. Think about it. To keep the relationships with your relatives, with your blood relatives, with those close to you. Big, big subject in Islam. And for example, we have the great nights that come during the year, Laylatul Qadr or the 15th of Shaban, in which Allah forgives everybody. But one human being is not forgiven. Which person? That person who, with his relatives, he breaks the ties with the relatives. Breaks the link. That person will not be forgiven. Even on Laylatul Qadr, 15th of Ramadan, imagine the big sin. Where's all his ibadah gone, that person? In the hadith is stated that if you want that in your rizq, in your wealth you have increase and you want a longer life, then what should you do? You should mend the ties, the relations with your relatives. Subhanallah. In this, we should work so hard for this that we should day, night, and fikr that we don't want to fail in this. Rather, we always thinking and contemplating that I don't want any failure in this aspect. And regularly we get this complaint. Regularly there's a complaint that I work so hard, I'm making effort, I'm trying my best, that I have good relationships with people and improve them. But on the other side, I don't get a reply. This is also, we say this regularly, isn't it? Subhanallah. There's a solution for this as well. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, there's a hadith, if you read the hadith, all the solutions will come, even for this problem. That how should you practically mend the ties, improve the ties with the relatives, otherwise it's Jahannam. If you don't, you should correct the tie, the connection with your relatives, understand each other. An individual came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith in Sahih Muslim that I'm sharing with you. An individual came and he came and said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I go on a journey and I go from one city to another city, I go to a different locality. He's explaining this to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, after going, my relatives are there, I go to meet them, my relatives, I want to improve the relations with them, the connection with them. And all my relatives there, my brothers there as well in another town. But, O Prophet of Allah, the situation is this, when I go there, I take gifts for them, good things for them, I love them. But they make me feel wretched. They look down at me. They don't even give me the time of the day. I try to improve the relationship. He's my real brother, blood brother. And he makes me feel wretched. He speaks bad of me. He demotes me, my real brother. So what is the instruction for me? What should I do? Look at what a big solution for society has been asked in this hadith. And this happens regularly amongst us. A man tries, he wants to improve the relationship. But on the other side, the reply is not good. Not positive, they don't want to meet him. So what's his position then? What should he do, that person who's trying to improve the relationship? And the other person who's responding negatively, what should he do? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an answer, a great answer, Sahih Muslim hadith. He said, if you really are doing this, what you are saying, if you really genuinely in your heart you have this passion, that you want to improve the relations, And for this purpose, you want to create a connection with those people, and you have pain when they give you a negative answer, and you want that you have good relations with them and love for them and improve the love with them, and they don't respond positively, then listen. That those relatives, that brother, those people of yours, they do this in response to you, then their faces, Allah will put destruction on their faces. Do you understand? Like the dust, throw the dust onto their face. Soil onto their face. This is like a proverb, it's a saying, it's an islahi answer the Prophet ﷺ gave, meaning that Allah will make them wretched, those people, those relatives, that brother, those relatives who treat you negatively in response. You want to improve the tie with them, the connection with them, and you, Nabi ﷺ said that you keep on trying. You keep on trying, because your job is that if you really want, in your heart you have this feeling, that you want to maintain the love and the passion with them, then what will happen? Allah will make them wretched. They'll be demoted. That person will never be on the high level. This is a Sahih Muslim hadith, I'm telling you. So it doesn't matter how big he is, that they will never get respect. But with you, what will happen is that you will not be wretched. And they're not actually speaking bad of you. They're not rejecting you. Rather, what will happen is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you, He will assign two angels to you, Rasulullah SAW said. And those angels will help you, assist you in your objective. And never with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in no way or form will He allow you to become wretched or cursed. And you will be muazziz, respectful and high in the level. This is maintaining the ties and the relationship. Subhanallah. So what should I do? I try my best. So listen, that if you want to maintain the relationship with somebody, maintain the connection with somebody, and they're not responding positively to them, then what should you do? Then the hukum, the instruction for that person is number one, is that first he should at least make the niyyah that these relatives or people I'm trying to improve the relationship with, and I should make the niyyah intention that it's not because he's my brother, my sister, my blood relative, rather I make the niyyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for your raza and your pleasure I'm doing this. For your pleasure I'm doing this. And if you have this niyyah intention that you won't never get any pain from their words, you'll get pain because you have a niyyah that when I go to them and I want to improve the relationship with them and they take revenge on me. Or when I do good to them and I want them to do good to me, etc. I don't have this niyyah. If you don't get that positive response and you feel a pain because your niyyah is not correct. If your niyyah was correct, that this action that I'm doing is for Allah's ajr and Allah's raza and His pleasure, then you will never feel any pain if they respond negatively to you. You will get the ajr from Allah. This is a great solution. That with this niyyah, if you do your actions, you won't feel the pain. And in Allah's eyes, you will be elevated. And they will continually become zaleel and wretched. So you keep on trying. You keep on trying and be positive. So here there's a great solution. And second point, second learning, is that when you say that what should I do now? How long should I carry on for? How much should I do? Then it's stated that three times you should try. Keep trying. Give three chances to that person in which you try to get near to them, give them gift, invite them, and try to maintain good relationship with them. Go once, try completely, call them, give tea, water, gift, or love, compassion. Try to maintain the relationship with that person. This is a great solution for our society. There are so many enmities in our society today. So much enmity you cannot imagine, due to which our whole society today is spoiled. It's for this reason that our akhlaq is finished. And we just think that one thing is deen, which is ibadah. We cannot be successful, that human being. He cannot go into paradise, that person. Doesn't matter how much ibadah he does. Doesn't matter how much tahajjud he prays. He will never be successful, never be forgiven. So he stated that you try once to mend the ties with that person. Not if they're staunch and arrogant, then second time try again to build a relationship with that person. Then third time try again. If three times, after trying three times, you spent the time, you've made effort, and they're not responding positively, then it stated you are free now. You are free. And all the azab and the punishment will be on their head, and they will go into Jahannam. So my brothers, this is such a big learning that we call akhlaq, the subject of akhlaq, conduct, character. So in these hadith, which person can practice these hadith? We make our excuses for not practicing this. No, we try, we made our own laws and rules up to try to mend the ties with people. If you really want to mend the ties, if you speak and act according to the hadith and the ways of the Prophet, then end of arguments. But why don't we practice this hadith? Why don't we do just like the hadith have told us to? The reason for this is that inside us there's no tazkiyah. When we do tazkiyah, when we our hearts are improved, then according to the hadith, we will solve our problems and we will solve our issues. So this is the reason for tazkiyah, purification. And for this purpose, we work hard and make effort. The tariqah that Allah has prescribed is how should you do tazkiyah? How should you purify yourself and improve your akhlaq? Qunu ma'as sadiqeen. Go to the people, the sadiqeen. This is that line. This is that subject. That's why you work hard. That's why you seek the pious people. So a person who understands that akhlaq is a high level, our whole deen revolves around akhlaq, all success will revolve around akhlaq. So he understands that person. So when he understands that, then all you have to do is, you have to go towards your tazkiyah sincerely, purification, that I can only be successful if my akhlaq is good. If my akhlaq is not good, my ibadah is not going to be accepted. I won't be successful. And my sadaqah won't be accepted, my hajj, my fasting, nothing will be accepted. It will just stop there. So for that, the individual, what he should do, he should take the subject path of tazkiyah. And that's why I stated that you should seek and find a wali Allah, a sheikh, a teacher, have his company with this intention that I've got the company of this teacher, the wali Allah, to improve my akhlaq. There's no other objective. No peer, become pious, I don't want to be khalifa. This is not the purpose. The real purpose of finding a sheikh, a wali Allah, to get you islah is to find Allah's nearness, to get to Allah's nearness. Not to become pious or kashf or miracles or visions or to get a maqamad or to feel pious or to demonstrate piety. No, the reason is that I can improve my akhlaq with Rasulullah said that the person who will be the best is that person who has the best akhlaq. Husnul, those who have the best conduct and character, and that he will be the best human being. He'll be the best wali Allah. Walayat, to become a wali, what is the daraja? It's not that to become a wali Allah, to attain piety, you pray so much salah, or you pray too much tahajjud, or you read so much Quran. No. Wali Allah is not the way a person becomes wali. How does a person become a friend of Allah? Wali Allah, how does he attain the maqamat? Is that when he crushes akhlaqi razila, the bad akhlaq, and akhlaq hamida comes into him, then he becomes a wali Allah. And yes, so it doesn't make any difference if you do anything else through ibadat and worship. The real genuine base that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, I came to complete the akhlaq of the humankind. And what's the reason for this? Why did Nabi Sallam elevate akhlaq? Because this was the challenge. When Allah Ta'ala created the human being, then the clamor at that time, the noise, why have you created these human beings out of clay? They will go to the dunya and they will commit fasad and murder and fighting and quarreling and arguing. There will be fasad. They challenged Allah. So Allah Ta'ala said that, let me show them the response here. So in such a dirty environment of the dunya, Allah sent us, shar is inside us, the ability to do shar and evil, bad environment around us. So we have lots of challenges around us. But due to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us, He sent anbiya regularly, prophets. And this silsila continued with every nation and tribe. The Nabi came, Kitab came, Nabi came, Prophet came, Kitab came. And this didn't finish. When the Nabi is finished, when the final Prophet came, then the silsila didn't finish. After that, Allah Ta'ala sent the awliya Allah, the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, the wali Allah, the friend of Allah, the awliya Allah, the person who's close to Allah. He has the same function, duty, as the prophets before him. What was his duty? Is that the wali Allah, he improves the akhlaq of the human beings around him. So his focus is on the tazkiyah, on the improvement. And he's not calling people to himself that you accept me as pious. No, he has the same basis, the same silsila, the same function. He teaches the humankind how to improve akhlaq so they can arrive to paradise. So if you don't have guidance behind you, and if you don't take the guidance before the prophets came, but now the awliya Allah will continue to come. So if we don't have the guidance, the shade of a wali Allah in our lives, then we cannot do our own tazkiyah. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala, did He continue to send kitabs? Allah Ta'ala, He sent the Torah, the Injil, the Quran, the final prophets. But Allah Ta'ala, after that, didn't send the kitabs. Allah could have continued to send kitabs and prophets, and our tazkiyah would have taken place. But no, that system is finished now. That with the kitab, definitely Allah gave a Nabi. With the kitab, Allah definitely gave. Take any kitab before the Quran. When Allah revealed the kitab, Allah sent the Nabi at the same time. Hand in hand. that if you don't have a human being to guide you, then you can't learn. The same way then, today, that silsila that has finished the Anbiya, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the deputies of the Nabi, the real deputies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their mamla, their situation is the same, that they will invite the human being towards akhlaq, good conduct. They will invite. And today this silsila is diminishing. Rather, I'll say is finished to a certain extent, to a certain degree, this subject. That what is sularami, what is maintaining the relationships, how you should meet people, the standard, etc. Nobody knows, even our children don't know about these subjects. Yes, that today whoever has more power and money, he's got the more power in the dunya. Today, in the day of judgment, the first question, the rights, husband, wife, look in our families. The wife, the husband, is the husband fulfilling the rights of the wife completely? Is he given the rights? Food, house, shelter, roof above the head, clothes. Is he fulfilling the rights? He has a good phone, she has a rubbish phone. And that doesn't even switch on, doesn't even function. Can't even hear the tone, the ringtone. He's got shopping, nice clothes, nice shoes. Wife, he's never thought that he should give to his wife. And the other side, on the flip side, does he ever, and sometimes this happens as well. The wife, she goes above. And she carries on doing things, buying, and the husband is nothing. And whatever then the wife thinks she does best, and she thinks that she's better, and she puts the husband underneath, and for example, he follows her guidance and direction and orders. So there's no balance. For example, he doesn't meet his relatives, was the wife's upset. Oh, why don't you meet your relatives nowadays? Oh, my wife, she doesn't want me to meet them. Oh, no, my wife's oppressed me. And she's, so all the rights from her side, she also crushes, just to run after the woman's rights. So there's no balance here. So if he had done tazkiyah, then what would he do? That he would have the balance in his life. Look at the hadith, that what right should I fulfill for which person? That how much do I need to go for to complete and fulfill her desires and requests? How much of her orders and instructions or desires should I follow and implement? So you have to follow the balance according to Rasulullah's sunnah, not beyond that. That for example, if your wife says, don't go to this relative, don't visit them or break the relationship with them. No, I can't do that. No, the rights I have to fulfill, this is not the deen that Allah Ta'ala gave or Rasulullah gave, just to this extent, these are your rights and I'll fulfill your rights to this extent. But these words of yours, instructions, I can't follow, if it's the wrong. Because Sharia, the boundary of the Sharia, you follow that guidance. Same way for the husband, that he will also fulfill the rights of the wife and treat her nicely and kindly. And she won't go beyond the Sharia boundary, that leave this person, oh, he doesn't like me, I don't like this relative of yours, or break this relationship of yours. So remember, there's a big punishment for this that Rasulullah said, that their faces will be wretched and they will be thrown into Jahannam, those people who do not respond positively. Doesn't matter how much ibadah they do, doesn't matter what worship they do. Remember this. So insan was created for good akhlaq, good conduct. And this was the challenge when mankind was made, when Allah made a human being. And the angels, they questioned and they challenged that he will spread fasad. Allah said, I will send my kitabs, my prophets, the awliya Allah. And whoever follows their guidance, whoever follows the guidance of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the awliya Allah will follow the guidance, he will be successful. And remember, the wali Allah, his guidance, the kamil wali, the complete wali, always his guidance and instruction and teaching will be akhlaq. And if never will you see from a wali Allah that he'll tell you that just do ibadah, do so much dhikr and you'll get to the heavens and you'll see kashf and dreams and miracles and you don't need to treat humans kindly. No, he has one basis, tazkiyah sheets. But we have, he has just one basis. And the person who follows the guidance of the tazkiyah sheets, and people say, oh, we don't need to follow the tazkiyah sheets. He just thinks that dhikr is everything, just do dhikr, la ilaha illallah and I'll be successful. No, not at all. When you go to the wali Allah, take his hand, then you'll learn how to live the life. Don't waste your time. Don't make your own deen. Remember this. The Anbiya came, Rasulullah came, the previous prophets came. Then the people at that time had to follow their guidance, their instructions. At that time, in that generation. Is this not the case? So when Allah Ta'ala assigns this work over to another person, the awliya Allah today in this generation, they improve the society. They make the same way the improvement to the society, just like the Nabis used to do. Not just one thing of fazail or zikr or do this ibadah or this ibadah. Ibadah is what? What's the biggest ibadah? The biggest worship that Allah Ta'ala said, I created the human to mend the pain of the hearts. Otherwise there's no lack of creation that's worshipping Allah. Allah said, I created human being so that the pain in the heart, the affection and the love and the passion in the heart is brought together for the human beings. Allah said, if I created you for salah or for zikr or for Quran, Allah said, I had no lack, I had billions, trillions on every square millimeter, there's angels in the universe doing worship. Allah said, I had no need to make you human beings for that reason as well. Allah said, just I wanted you to improve the society, brother, sister, husband, wife, children, parents, to give balance to society. And then Allah gave duties to individuals, duties and tasks to individuals. Did you know this? Have you got this syllabus in your life? Do you ever teach your children this? No, we don't teach our children this. They don't know about their rights. The child, the son, doesn't know what's the rights of the father. And whoever's got more money, son runs after him. And whichever son has more money, the father runs after that son. You hear this more stories. That son who feeds and gives more money to the father, oh, he's my good son, oh, she's my good daughter, I like them more. And the other son who doesn't give any money to the parents, oh, no, he's no good. So we made our own rules up today. Even if that child doesn't pray salah, doesn't practice deen, but if that child is giving money to mom and dad are happy. Oh, he's very good, our son. He's very nice. Look at that basis, those rules that Rasulullah has made about the rights. With your children, you should treat them equally, the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And no daughter is bigger, no son is bigger. Remember these are the rights of the deen of akhlaq that I'm telling you. That's why we come here for the majlis. Because I told you, this is the majlis of tazkiyah, rights. This is deen. This is not some small point I'm making today. Wallahi, suddenly these points came to my mind. This is that path that will take us to Jannah, paradise, all of these learnings. If our akhlaq is not improved, doesn't matter if we fail in any subject or part of akhlaq in our lives, my friends, then we are today drowned in the hukuk of society. We are stuck in this way of life. Maamalat, maasharat, society, giving, taking, buying, selling. 9/10 of Islam is akhlaq, 1/10 is ibadah. Worship. And the whole day, morning to night, we run after fazail, ibadah, worship, mashallah, alhamdulillah. But the 90%, nobody's there to tell us. There's no khankas, there's no wali allahs, there's no desire, no passion to go and sit with them, to bring our children there, to teach them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, He puts the sift, the quality, He puts that desire, Allah injects that current into that person, through which he has to spread the deen. So then he goes into the sohbat of the wali allah and his akhlaq starts to improve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He creates a human being, a wali Allah, a friend of Allah, says, go to that person so you can get the fez. So Allah puts special qualities and attributes into that wali. So when the individual sits with that person, then those same qualities rub off onto him. That's why Allah says, Qunu ma sadiqeen. La yaska julusim. They are those people, the friends of Allah. Allah's walis are those people that if you sit with them, never will they give you loss. Never will give you this benefit beyond benefit. But for this, the first condition is that your niyyah should be correct. Your niyyah should be correct. I'm going for this reason. I'll go there so that I can improve my akhlaq. This is my biggest topic in my life. And akhlaq, I can't improve myself. I can't understand from the Quran myself. Salah will not improve my akhlaq. Fasting will not improve my akhlaq. Akhlaq, to improve my conduct, character, the subject I have to study is that with the kitab came the Nabi. And remember now, Nabi won't come. Kitab is there. So who do we have to go to for the company? So that we don't forget the education of the Quran of Rasulullah ﷺ. To revive that practice, Allah Ta'ala created the human beings today in this generation who are the walis of Allah. You must go to their company. You don't understand what I'm saying? Do you understand now what is deen? So this equals deen, religion. Don't just take one subject, worship, and after that we don't speak about anything else after that. There's no other subject after that that we discuss. 9/10 of Islam, 90% if you distribute, 90% maintaining the relationships, the blood relatives, mending the broken ties, big, big subject. The person who doesn't do this, his forgiveness won't be attained in Ramadan. He won't get forgiveness on the 15th of Shaban. Never will he get forgiveness. So akhlaq, improve it. Whether it's your son, wife, children, relatives. Follow that standard to that boundary to which Allah Ta'ala wants to give. It's the rights of a father. The father must fulfill the rights. If the mother's rights, she must follow the rights. Not that you leave your wife and you start running after your mother. Oh, Allah's ordered me to serve my mother. Then you leave your wife. No, you don't do like that. Balance it all out. All the links, you have to give the rights to everybody according to the boundary and to the limits that Rasulullah ﷺ defined. That's what we need to do. So for this, to revive this, to learn this, we need to improve our hearts. And to revive the hearts, improve the hearts, if your heart is correct, then it will accept all of these rights. And then you'll see good, you'll see bad. And for that, we need to do dhikr. That's why we do dhikr of Allah. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yes. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. That the real correct deen that we practice it. Always analyze yourself. That I'm going to the company of Wali Allah. And I'm not going for this that I think I'm already pious. I'm the best. People, they run away from Wali's will. I don't want to be better. I don't want to be pious. I don't want my business to shut down. I don't want him to make him start praying salah, do dhikr. I don't have time. How will I do all these things? Tell me. Yes, so he's preparing for Jahannam. After 2 days you're going to die and go into the grave. Don't you have time today for which you were created? Allah Ta'ala created you for a purpose. Allah says, Jinn wal insa illa liya'budun. I created you to please me. Allah says, you don't have time for that. But you have time for other things in the dunya that you're not going to take the dunya with. That people are going to grab from you. After you, your money, people are going to grab your money. They're going to take your clothes off your body. They're going to take your watch off your wrist. Nothing of yours is going to go with you from this dunya. Does anything go into your grave? Tell me. How long does it take for your items? Oh, but we don't have time because the shop's stopping me, my business is stopping me, my wife is stopping me. Why don't you come? Oh, my wife's going to be upset if I go and do good things. Is this some excuse? That your wife's going to be upset? Oh, my wife's upset in the evening. Why do you go to dhikr? Why do you go majlis? Why do you sit there? My wife's upset. She's not happy. So you're leaving the whole deen. You're leaving all the 90% of the deen. Yes? Is this justice? Is this akhlaq? No? So this is, you should say to the wife, this is not the situation. You can't demand this. That Allah's given me the rights that I have to fulfill you, but I have to split my time accordingly. Yes, I can't stay here at home. What time should I go out? What time should I stay at home? How long should I be at home? Except, but you're just running after one thing. We don't know anything else about the deen. We need to understand the whole of the subject of deen is fraud. It's a deception. We're not telling people the right deen. We're not giving the right guidance to people about deen. Why? Because there's fitna before qiyamah. Fitna. Fitna, disharmony in the dunya. And even if today a waliullah stands up today and already there's a drought, I'll tell you now the truth now is kahat al-rijal, that if today you do find a waliullah, then consider you've attained the big ni'mah from Allah. I'm telling you this now. Big ni'mah. These are hadith that such a generation and age will come. And just like, for example, you know, you dig here, you dig here, you dig here, and you find the oil, and they get happy, we've struck oil. They're happy, those people in the dunya. Same way, this generation has come that the previous generation, in my generation I saw, there are so many walis of Allah, you could go this way, that way. Even in my generation, when I was younger, Alhamdulillah, Lahori, Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Sheikh Sahib, Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Sheikh Arvi Sahib, Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, Alhamdulillah, in other words, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Abdul Al Dalwi, Alhamdulillah, so many mashayikh in my lives I saw them. And I asked, Allah, you give me your choice. And Hazrat Ali Murtaza, Alhamdulillah, Allah sent me to him. In my life, even today, if I look around and scan, and I have that concern that, for example, when Hazrat Sahib was about to pass away, and somebody said, Hazrat Sahib, I saw a dream. Recently, I saw that in front of the Kaaba, you know the two minars that they're dropping, becoming shaheed, and Hazrat Sahib was sitting in front of the Kaaba and drew a deep, cool breath, and he said, the meaning of this dream of yours is that very soon, a waliullah will depart from this world. After him, there will be no waliullah like him to come back in the dunya. SubhanAllah. After 15 days, Hazrat Sahib passed away, my sheikh. So my brothers, kahatul rijal, we're living in the drought generation because we are in that generation of qiyamah. People are departing, it's finished. They won't come back. Khankas you won't see today. You can go and see. Go in your own countries. Just a game. Ajeeb, weird situation, fraud, deception. So today, in this day and age, if a person from previous silsilas has a proper connection, chain, authentic, and you see a Kamil Sheikh, then consider you have just struck oil. In the country, you've just dug in front of this, the oil of the akhirah that you've just found. Grab hold of him. Grab hold of his company. That's the instruction. That if you understand that he's a waliullah, then definitely grab hold of him. You'll get the world, the dunya and the akhirah at the same time. Same time. But if you keep thinking, contemplating, you don't have time, then you're wasting your own time. What time are you wasting? That is written on your back that you in this dunya, just 30 years, 25 years, 60 years, you're going to be alive after that. There's no power in the universe that can give you life. No medicine can save you to give you life. No injection can save you from death. And before that, nobody can kill you, finish you. So in that limited time, please Allah, before you pass away, that's it, my friends. Take hold of those paths through which Allah is pleased. And the most best path to please Allah, let me tell you clearly, not through tahajjud is Allah pleased, not through salah is Allah pleased. Remember this. Not through sadaqat. The best and excellent way to please Allah is that you mend the broken heart of a person. That's it. The best and easy way, immediately Allah will become pleased with you. Go, look, find if someone's upset with you, he doesn't accept you, then make up with that person. Try to help that person. For whose reason? Try the niyyah, Allah's pleasure, that Allah will give the ajr. Not for the human being you're not doing it. 3 times try it. three times. Then after that, Allah Ta'ala says that that next person, summum bukim umyun, that leave it to him. That for that person, Jahannam has been destined. But three times, definitely you have to try on your relatives, friends, the relatives and friends to mend the ties. Maintain the ties three times. Not 3 days, three times you have to try. It could take many months. Keep trying. Three times, explain to them, make up with them, rather than breaking with them. If they don't accept and they're just stuck in their ways, and then say, okay, I'll leave it to you, I tried, and then Allah Ta'ala says, fine, leave it to me. You are clean, you are pure, you tried, now Allah knows and that person knows what will happen with that person. So my brothers, this is the dunya we're living in, these are our lives, a very important subject, very, very important. If always we consider akhlaq and have this learning, always this is affecting us. We are social animals, relatives, brothers, children, parents. Everyone has to be weighed on the same scale that our Rasulullah, what are the hadood and the rights that Nabi Sallam defined to us for these people? When there's a right, speak the truth. When someone's correct, say he's correct. And if it's for you, good. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And don't be afraid of anything. What will happen next? Because you also have to give hisab of your children, your wife, your relatives. For every human being individually, you have to account for the rights of that person, not for anybody else. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to do this. So this is the objective of this majlis of tazkiyah. We do tazkiyah. This majlis is to improve our akhlaq, to do our islah. So may Allah give me the tawfiq to practice on what I spoke about. And you also, individuals, pay attention to this and think, analyze this, that we should improve our conduct, character. And what is the meaning of akhlaq? Not smiling and smirking. That our rights of the people around us should be fulfilled, and no enmity against anyone in your heart. And do it the way that the boundary that's been taught to us. Ameen. Recite the routine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina muslim. Shafi'in al-Muslimin. Tawahwa ya sayyidina al-Habib al-Ameen. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الذي يسوع جل وعلا رضياتي وحنا بيتي ومصلى دائما لكم صلى الله تسليما دائما نبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وصلنا واصلنا وجدنا خطونا وقنا كل صالح اللهم ربنا اعطنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب ودخلنا لنا فما علاقنا ويأتي سيقوم قال رب العالمين اللهم عيننا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم عيننا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اكت حاجاتنا يا دافع البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي المراض اشفى مرادنا يا شافي المراض اشفى مرادنا يا شافي المراض اشفى مرادنا اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المؤمنين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم الأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.